First Thessalonians, chapter 1. Well, since Christmas is over, I guess everybody has opened their gifts. Does anybody hasn't opened all their gifts? I mean, we opened ours. Yeah, you do. You still have one. But it's so big, and it's it's just sitting there. It's like the elephant in the room. I mean, it's huge, and it's. But she knows what it is, because I can't keep secrets. You know, I'm just, honey, I got you something for Christmas. You want to know what it is? You want to know what it is? Hey, come on, you want to know what it is? Yep, that'd be me. We've opened all of our gifts. Did you get what you want? Did you get what you wanted? I pretty much got all I wanted. In fact, I got much more than I really wanted. Did you want what you got? That's a totally different question there. Did you really get? Okay. There you go. You got your grandbaby, right?
Yep.
Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we here at ECBC, this past year has just been a phenomenal year for us here. I mean, we've seen the Lord bless us in so many ways. Now, you're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm going to read the whole chapter because it is an exciting chapter. You ready? Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of God of the Thessalonians and the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election of God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith towards God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all you do in our lives, and I just pray that you would enlighten our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Paul spoke of the church at Thessalonica as being a pattern for all the other churches around. In fact, in verse 3, he says he was praising them for their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope in the Lord Jesus. So I want to take a look back at our place, our little corner of the world here, to see if we followed that pattern, all right? We had some great expectations last year. We started talking about lots of other things. And while I was preparing my notes, I thought, well, I want to be sure about this. So I asked Rochelle if she'd look over my notes and just wipe out everything that was dull and boring. So in conclusion, no. As we began this past year, we had some wonderful plans, things that we wanted to do. We prayed for somebody who could come and play the piano for us. And the Lord brought Bill and Candace to us. Praise the Lord. We wanted someone who could lead our music worship. And the Lord brought Michael to us. We wanted to expand our facility to include an overflow area, Bill. We got the overflow area. A nursery. Sunday school rooms, a fellowship area. We wanted to start a men's Sunday school class. We prayed for our local outreach in our communities. And you know what? God answered our prayers. Mission accomplished. God is good all the time. So I'm going to look at some of the things that happened. We have a Sunday school for men. Sunday school for men. We have a Sunday school for men. We have a Sunday school for men, don't we? All right. Sunday school for ladies, which is, and I, Do I dare say it's bulging at the seams? I don't mean that. You know, it's they're running. Yes, that's kind of treacherous when you say that. No, they're running out of room. They're going to have to move into the fellowship hall area as they continue to grow, and that's great. And that's all of that over there. And we have in our worship services, and Michael comes down and he plays his guitar, and he's, you know, that's exciting stuff. And sometimes we get a preacher that preaches. Sometimes. Okay. But bless your heart. There'll be a little something in your envelope, okay? We have the In Touch Ministry. For those of you that don't know what In Touch Ministry is, do you receive a birthday card or a prayer card or a condolence card, anything along those lines? That's our In Touch Ministry, reaching out to our little family. We have Operation Christmas Child, 315 boxes last year. Praise the Lord for that. We began the care ministry in the gardens of Gettysburg. Ding. All right. We have those who clean the church. We have those who beautify and decorate the church. Oh, boy. And I hope we would really pray for everyone that's involved. There's so many volunteers, so many names, so many people that do all kinds of things here. And we're just so very thankful for each one of you. I don't know, maybe God's speaking to somebody else here that you could be able to do something for him. I'm just following what the Lord said in Matthew 7. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Hey, hello. But you know what? We can't forget our missionaries, can we? We continue to support Justin Hannigan and his Ends of the Earth cycling. Operation Christmas Child. We support the Frederick Rescue Mission. We support the Southern Baptist Convention and their missions program, the Maryland-Delaware Baptist Convention and their programs, the Blue Ridge Baptist Association and their programs. And this year we're adding Building Hope Ministries, working in India, and New Hope Shelter in Waynesboro. So, wow, all of these are just missions that we are involved in. Bet y'all didn't know we had all those things, did you? Well, now you do, okay? But we've got to continue to move forward. We just have to keep on going. We need volunteers for the nursery. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Aaron, there are no kids in here. If you build it, they will come. Remember that, all right? We need volunteers for the choir. Oh, come on, Pastor, do you see even these seats for choir? We don't have a choir. If you publish it, they will sing. They really will. We need those who can play instruments, guitars, piano. We're so thankful for Candace who's playing the piano. But maybe there's somebody else. And I dare say this. Now, hold on, everybody, grab a hold of your seats. Even somebody that might be able to play the drums. Ooh! But we will put a shield up here. You know, obviously, the shield for that. Moving right along. There you go. Listen, instruments are instruments. And I'm going to be dealing with that in a little bit, too. So 2019 was really a blessed year for us. We were just so excited, and in this coming year, we need to continue the progress that we've seen. So how about next year? That's coming up on Wednesday, right? Wow. Our mission, and by the way, we do choose to accept it. That's just an homage to Mission Impossible. Never mind. Okay, is to carry out the Great Commission. That's what it is. Through evangelism, through Bible teaching, and through worship. And we want to reach not only our community, but we want to reach the world. We want to do what we can. Our mission really is the Great Commission. Jesus, I say this all the time, and you know, go into all the world, make disciples, baptize those disciples, teach those disciples how to go into the world, make disciples, and teach disciples how to baptize. It's a circular thing. They just keep on going and keep on going. Let me ask you a question. Do you know why you've been saved? That's not a rhetorical question. Do you know why you've been saved? Hmm. I didn't hear you. Because he loves us, okay? Yes, he does. When Jesus healed a demon-possessed man, that man was so grateful and so in love with the Lord Jesus, he said, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to do everything you do. And you know what Jesus said to him? Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. Do you know why God has sent the Holy Spirit to live in us and to fill us? To guide us. Well, he also wants us to be witnesses. Do you remember what Jesus said as he was about to leave? And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be, what's that next word? Witnesses. Witnesses. You know why there's a church here on earth? I think you're getting the idea here. So that the church might be a witness for the Lord. Paul told the Ephesians that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel. Do you know why they have preachers here in churches? Romans chapter 10, Paul said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he asked the question, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a ta-da preacher? That's my function, to equip the church to be a witness. Y'all see the common thread through this? What is it, folks? Witness. We need to be effective witnesses for the Lord. So how do we do that? Well, it's already up on the screen. The first thing we need to do is we need to continue to talk about the Savior. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We know this, but let me just share with you what Matthew 28:20 says. Jesus said, I'll always be with you. Not only am I sending you out to be a witness, I'm going to be with you as that you witness till the end of the age. Not only that, he gives us grace for every situation. Paul said, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, listen to the alls, always having all sufficiency in all things, might have all abundance from every good work. Got everything we need. He helps keep things under control. Do you realize when your world's going out of control, when things are not as you planned, when everything is running headlong and you know that there's going to be a huge explosion, do you realize God's got that? It doesn't take him by surprise. You know, God's never had a thought like, wow, I never thought about that. God doesn't do that. God knows it all, and he's taking care of each one of us. And not only that, he brings us through our trials and tribulations because he's the God of all comfort. And he comforts us in all of our situations so that when the time comes when somebody has a similar situation, you're able to comfort them because you've already been comforted by the Lord. So how can we be effective witnesses? We need to continue to talk about the Savior. But not only that, we need to continue to study the Scriptures. We need to continue to study the Scriptures. That's what Paul said. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Folks, we have the greatest self-help book ever. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. Bible, right? That's us. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Are you here today and you need some friendship? Well, Proverbs 18:24 says, if you want friends, you have to show yourself friendly. It just amazes me when people say, I don't have any friends. And you say, well, do you go anywhere? No, I just sit at home all the time. Well, no wonder you don't have any friends. You got to show yourself friendly. How about emotional support? Do you need something? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Do you need to feel a sense of belonging? Maybe you're kind of wandering out there. Paul said, we being many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Hey, we're all in this together. We really are a family. We're new creations. We're not condemned. We're free from our sin. We are righteous. We are chosen. We are set apart. We are powerful. And oh, yeah, we're going to heaven one day. Woo! Paul said, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as the word of truth, the word of God. And all of that, everything that I just said, is all because of the Lord Jesus and what he has done in our lives. And I want us as a church to continue to be a church that eagerly receives the word of God. See, whenever I pick up this book, it's not what Joe says, it's thus saith the Lord. I'm just saying what was said, right? It's not from me. Now, I know some people say, but, you know, men wrote that book. Yeah, they did, but they wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? God was the author. And we need to continue to stand for the Word of God. We are people not only of the blood, we are people of the book. At least that's me, and I trust that it's us as a church. We believe that the Bible is the inerrant Word of God. Now, Pastor, what does that mean? Inerrant? Doesn't have any errors in it. That's what it means. So we need to continue to talk about the Savior. We need to continue to study the Scriptures. Thirdly, we need to continue to serve the Lord. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as therefore we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially unto those who are the household of faith. We're supposed to be nice to all kinds of people. You don't understand, Pastor. You don't know my uncle. I don't need to know your uncle. You need to be nice to everybody. Serve one another when we come here, because we serve the Lord. That's what this is all about. The Lord, through us, we can serve other people. We can serve in the community. Because quite frankly, as David said in Psalm 11:3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? What's going to happen if we crumble? This whole world crumbles. So we need to continue to talk about the Savior, study the Scripture. Here's another one. Serve the Lord, and we need to continue to worship the Lord. Psalm 96, verse 9 says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Paul was so impressed with the worship services at the church in Thessalonica. In verse 5, he said, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for our sake. Paul could tell the difference in the way the church responded to his preaching of the word. Because when he preached, it wasn't his word. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit and much assurance. See, they had a tremendous atmosphere of worship. So what is worship? What is it? Well, let me give you a real condensed definition. Worship is giving all that I am to all God is. Worship is giving all that I am to all that God is. That's worship. It means to give God glory and the worth that is due him. That's the purpose of worship, to glorify God. But to do that, we need to really focus on God. We've got to fix our focus on the Father before we are ready to worship. Now, let me give you some categories of worship. Singing, preaching, praying, giving thanks. All of those are forms of worship. Our focus shouldn't be on the music. Shouldn't be on the message. It shouldn't be on the personality, even as good looking as he might be. Wait a minute. What are you all looking at? Come on. The focus of worship is to be on the Lord. That's our focus of worship. Someone has said, when we bring our prayers to the Lord, we focus on our knees. But when we bring our worship to the Lord, we focus on God. we focus on God. You see, true worship does not magnify the preacher, doesn't glorify the church. It doesn't even magnify your spiritual gift, whatever it is. True worship lifts up the Lord. That's what worship is all about. And I don't know anything that will set a church on fire like real worship. Because worship, if it really is worship, is dynamic. It'll be exciting. It'll be enthusiastic. It won't be something you endure. It'll be something you enjoy. See, the only people in the world that have the right to be enthusiastic are God's people. We are in God. God is in us. We are with God. God is with us. We love God, and He loves us. And worship is a time of celebration. Now, I know I've heard people say, Pastor, you know, I believe we shouldn't get all carried away. You ever talk to somebody like that? They say, I don't know about this. You know, you raise your hands or you do all this. That's you're going, you know, don't get so carried away. Well, for those kind of people, the only time they get carried away is when the undertaker comes, picks them up, and carries them away. I mean, that's the kind of people they are. You know, there are some people that don't like applause in the church. They don't like, hey, you know, give a hand to the Lord. Oh, you did that, Pastor. How could you do that? You know, there are people who won't even say amen. They'll nod their heads. So I want you to write down Psalm 42, or 47. Psalm 47, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 47, verses 1 and 2. You ready? Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great King over all the earth. Woo! There you go. Got an amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, the greatest enemy of worship today is fear. It's fear. We're so afraid that what might happen if we get a little freedom and a little liberty in our worship services. See, folks, I'm not afraid of what will happen if we worship the Lord. I'm afraid what happens if we don't worship the Lord. You know, if we get so caught up in other things, watch out. So I believe whether it's raising your hands or clapping or using a guitar or shouting amen, preach it, Pastor, preach it, you know, that kind of stuff. You don't have to be afraid of anything the Bible teaches. And folks, the Bible teaches worship ought to be dynamic. It ought to be worshipful. It ought to be loud. You know, I'd love to have been in that service in Thessalonica. Verse 6 says there was joy. There was fullness in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Verse 9 says people were being saved. Verse 10 says people were looking for Jesus to come back. Folks, those are results of worship. Those are the things that really set you apart. And when a church is truly worshiping God, there's going to be joy in the church. The Holy Spirit will be real in the church. People will be saved. Everybody is going to leave looking for the Lord Jesus. I hope you do. You know what? Sometimes I drive home and thinking, you know, if the Lord came right now, I wonder what's going to happen to those people who aren't saved when my car hits theirs. You know, I mean, you see, real worship will gladden you. It will give you joy. It will strengthen you by the Spirit. It'll leave you looking for the Lord, longing for the Lord, living for the Lord. It'll put a bounce in your step. It'll put a smile on your face. It'll put joy in your heart. I mean, real worship. You know, I've heard people say, well, I'm just too tired to go to church today. I've heard it. I know you have, and maybe you've even thought it. Well, let me tell you something. It's when you're tired that you need to come to church. Because true worship will refresh you. It will rejuvenate you. It will cause you to rejoice. You see, real worship is like a tonic to a tired soul. It's like medicine to a sick person. It'll be like a magnet, too, because it'll draw people to Jesus when they see that you're being praising the Lord, even in your circumstances. Now, beginning next week, I want to look in depth at worship. I want to look at the inward worship, outward worship, and upward worship. It's going to be exciting. So we need to continue to talk about the Savior. We need to continue to study the scriptures. We need to continue to serve the Lord and worship him. And we also need to continue to enrich the ministry. Paul said in Romans 14, therefore, let's keep on pursuing those things that bring peace and that lead to building up one another. You see, folks, there's more to worship than just listening to the announcements, singing of the hymns and the spiritual songs, giving your hard-earned money, listen to the pastor preach for 30 minutes or so. There's a great opportunity for service for every one of us. And we need to expand our thinking beyond Sunday. I mean, this world thinks that we're wasting our time by coming to church every Sunday, by listening to sermons about God and about Jesus Christ and giving our money to build the kingdom. They think we're worthless. But these things the world called wasteful are the things that are going to last forever. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Worshiping the Lord, serving the Lord, giving to the Lord, bringing souls to the Lord. Folks, that's worship. That's the treasures that we ought to put in heaven. And we need to continue to have a positive attitude to everyone. Paul said, as you have opportunity, let's do good to everyone, especially to them who are the household of faith. Church has got to be a place where everybody can come and be accepted and be loved and be encouraged and be built up. I don't ever want to go to a church for any length of time when all I hear when I sit in there are about the horrible things that are going on in my life, your life, their life. Listen, I understand that we all have problems. We all do. But here, we're here to lift up the Lord. That's why we're here, to lift up the Lord. A place that people can help us carry our burdens, even where everyone feels welcome. I'm so thankful we have a church that welcomes everybody. You know, it's interesting, in the New Testament, the term one another, there's over 55 of those in the New Testament alone. Greet one another, accept one another. I'm not going to do all 55 of them, all right? Love one another, be devoted to one another, build up one another. On and on it goes about the one another's of the New Testament. So I got a thought. So this year, let's make sure that we display a positive attitude towards people, towards everyone. The good people, the bad people. Just so we can still be positive. That's what Peter said. Above all things, have fervent love for yourselves, for love shall cover a multitude of sins. So I have a great idea. Ready? Let's make it a point to greet everyone when we're here. That's why we do that. You know, let's stand, let's get around and greet everybody. Let's say hello. Because that's scriptural. 3 John 14 says, greet the friends by name. So if you are here and you don't know somebody's name before you leave today, go over and find out what their name is. All right? People need positive people to influence them. That's what Paul said. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So going forward this year, let's be positive as we look at our own lives. I say this all the time. We're awesome. We are a creation of God, which is awesome in His sight. So when you look in the mirror, I said this. So when you look in the mirror, you like Fonzie. Yay. Wow, look at that. All right. And we need to be positive as we look at the church, serving and giving and witnessing for the Lord. And we need to be positive when we look at others. We are the body of Christ in this community. And he says the body should let their light so shine that everyone will see the good works and glorify God. So my prayer for our church continues to be this, that you have enough happiness to be sweet, that you have enough hope to keep you eager, that you have enough success to keep you happy, that you have friends to give you comfort, that you have enthusiasm to make you look forward to tomorrow, to have determination to make each day better than yesterday. Don't let negative people rent space in your mind. Don't do it. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, you know, whatever things are true and lovely and honest and on it goes, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on those things. Don't think on the negative and the horrible things. Think on the beautiful things. See, I don't know what the future holds for us as a church, But I know who holds our future, don't you? The Lord holds our future. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for all you do. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that our church comes together and ministers toward one another. And as we reach into this world, in our communities and around the world, I pray that we would be that shining light, that we would let others know of the love of Jesus that's in our hearts and that they want in this world. Father, we're so grateful for you and for the Lord Jesus. And I pray that as each one of us receives what you have for us, that we be faithful to minister it as you have commanded. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing softly and